Welcome to the show.
I'm Mikey.
And it's your girl, Zayday.
We are two social justice warriors dedicated to dismantling systems of oppression through a black queer feminist lens.
Yes, this podcast will cover a variety of topics ranging from politics in our country to which new bop you can twerk to.
Yep, and while we're twerking, y'all can start following. Search Black to the Future on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Join in the conversation.
And don't forget to leave positive reviews for us on your streaming platform.
Yes, please leave positive reviews. With the reach of this podcast, we desire to change the world one episode at a time.
Yep, and I think it's time we get started, don't you think?
Yep, let's get it.
The past is gone. The present is an adventure. Looks like it's time to go black to the future. Cue the theme music.
Yeah. So proud of what we see. We hope you're listening. Oh, we wanna fill you up with the real tea. Bridge the gap and show you what we see. So go on, spread the word. Tell them what you heard.
And welcome back to a brand new episode of Black to the Future podcast. Yes! Welcome back, everyone. I'm so pleased that you are here to join me and to listen to me continue to ramble on. This is going to be an interesting episode in the sense it's kind of off the top of my head. Normally, I kind of have like things written down and stuff, but this is just kind of, I guess, on my heart, on my mind, in my spurge, down in the gullet, as it were. And I really just wanted to talk kind of, you know, I talk very candidly to begin with, but this is going to be a little bit more like trying to find the right words. And I wanted to really talk about, I'm recording this on Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, at least where we have the holiday on the 17th this year. And of course I want to pay my tributes to him, of course, and all the things that he's done. So thank you, Dr. King, for, doing all the things that you have done to create liberation for Black folks, or, you know, the civil rights movement and all that kind of stuff. Very much appreciated. Thank you. There's been lots of discourse, even within our own podcast, there's a reoccurring kind of like theme and topic, and especially out in the world right now, which of course is reflective of, you know, what we talk about on the show, is like the accountability of Black men. You know, I personally, I'll speak for myself, I do get, you know, backlash too. Like, it's not like a lot, like horrible, but there's a lot of particularly Black men who have, they take umbrage. They have issues with what I say about them, how they do things, and how they operate within Black community and stuff like that. And I think we've talked about it quite extensively on certain episodes or little snippets here and there in subtopics or whatever the case may be. But, you know, I just want to definitely clarify things and definitely talk about why I feel the way that I feel and all that kind of stuff. So this one is going to be about how in 2022, I'm definitely doing my absolute best to assist and appeal and help Black men, particularly cishet Black men, who haven't had and haven't been afforded and blessed with all the opportunities that other folks in our communities have been, to understand and to listen to why and how we come to these rationales and these conclusions, and we attempt to hold Black men accountable for what they say. On one of the previous episodes, of course, I interviewed Damone Allen, so please go check that out, where we talk about accountability for Black men a little bit. I think the next episode after this one will also be with the Black man, and then there might be even a couple more after that. So I'm really invested in trying to understand how Black men, whether they be cis or trans, or they be gay or straight, or some other varying identities, as long as they have a masculine center, I'm very invested in trying to make sure that they understand how we see things on the feminine side over here. I think that's very important in order to have balance and cohesion and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, rather than trying to be like blaming people, because that's basically kind of what it is like, you need to do better. It's like, how do we make this work? How do you understand? At what capacity do we need to relinquish, you know, people from these constraints that we've established for their character or their archetypes and all that kind of stuff. Even for, you know, Black women or femme folks in the Black community, like, we also have things that we need to adjust as well. But I think the conversation around Black men is so prevalent right now is because there's a cultural and a social shift to where we're trying to find the balance in all of those things, and all the social work and all the things that, all the statistics, all the things that we're calculating is revolving around trying to see how we can all be balanced and fair. And like I was saying, but it kind of points and shows like, oh, Black women and Black queer people, they're kind of at the mercy of Black men, so to speak. Like, we're kind of always in this place of having to answer or respond to something that they do. Similar to how in, you know, other cultures, I'm sure, particularly in white cultures, how everyone kind of has to answer to white men. I think that what we're trying to do in Black community is emulate that, which may not actually be for us. Mab and I, shout out to Mikey, we always talk about how Black community is very matriarchal, how at the center and at the helm of everything is a Black woman, kind of holding everything together. We got, you know, grandma, great-grandma, Madea, mama, mima, whoever we want to call her, Nana. She's kind of at the helm. And then there's always aunties and stuff like that who are kind of keeping everything together whenever there's holidays. It's always, let's go over to, you know, grandma's house and da-da-da-da-da. So I like to think that we're really, really matriarchal. When we think about gathering together and doing those things, a lot of Black women, we are kind of creating and facilitating those things within our communities and driving those things forward. And I think our attempt, or at least our societal attempt, for Black culture to emulate that white culture where white men are the head and Black men want to be the head as well. And then this is, of course, reinforced by a multitude of things like religion and all kinds of other stuff. We want to be able to say like, oh, this is your ordained right to be in the lead of everything. But in our own culture, if we really genuinely think about it, we're kind of at the center of everything, Black women, I mean. We're kind of at the center of everything. So it's kind of like we're already kind of put in this position to inherently lead, you know. It's just kind of how it is. And I think that's kind of where a lot of it kind of stems from, is this unrequited thing from Black men that they haven't been able to effectively lead the community how they want. There have been great standouts, ergo, of course, Martin Luther King Jr. There have been brilliant standouts where they have, and Malcolm X, there are great Black leaders that are men, and, you know, Barack Obama. You know, there have been great leaders, and I think our attempt to emulate what they do, as far as white people is concerned, is challenging, and it's hard to do because we just don't have the same privileges, the same abilities to do things because of how dynamic and how powerful racism is in our culture and so integrated into the system. And so as Black people as a whole, we all collectively understand what it means to be impacted and affected by racism, because it happens very early. You know, those early moments, girl, where it's like you start to realize like, oh, I'm not like a white person. like, oh, I am definitely black. Like, the my skin complexion fucking makes a difference in this entire society. I didn't choose it, but I'm kind of here. Here's your skin tone. Now have fun with this and deal with it for the rest of your life, when you didn't get to choose any of those things. And the way that racism works is, like, it's been instilled since, you know, forever ago at this point. And now we're just now getting to the point where these conversations are coming to the surface, and we're starting to slowly pull it apart, dismantle and all that kind of stuff. So racism is nasty. It's ugly. And even before that, we had misogyny and sexism, you know, where men inherently, of course, deem themselves to be the ones in charge of things. So it's kind of like, now we also have that as an extra thing as well. So I'll come back to that. But so with racism being so prominent, so prevalent, it's literally the answer to a lot of black people's problems. But it's really specifically a black man's problem, because like we always say, is that black men, particularly cisgender heterosexual black men, cishet, their biggest thing that's holding them back is racism. Genuinely, that's kind of like their biggest thing, because racism contributes to things like living in disenfranchised areas via redlining, or and then from there, of course, the inequitable distribution of wealth, why they don't have no money, all that kind of stuff. You know, it just literally trickles out from there. And of course, you know, of course, white men, of course, have said, oh, you know what, let's go ahead and handicap the black community by incarcerating a large number of their men, so that way they have no one to be at the helm of their communities. And let's also throw in these, you know, these drugs and stuff into the community, so that they can, we can make that, we can criminalize that, and then we can put them in jail for it, and that could be the only viable way. So racism has really whittled down exactly how black men are literally stuck in this position of what they have to do. So I understand. And I think the fact of the matter is that we as black women, and even black LGBTQIA plus people, we fully understand. We have those same experiences, because we also too are affected by racism, by black, being black people. And I think that sometimes cishet black men particularly may not recognize that. And I think it's because their immediate counterparts, their immediate comparison of like white men is like, well, they own businesses. They have this and they have this and they have this. It's like they're starting the race behind white men, and they're trying to catch up with many more obstacles in place by white men who shrug and go, I didn't do that. I didn't put those there. It's just how the natural order should be, where white people be ahead, you know? And so they're constantly trying to catch up to these white men, and baby, and at least in our lifetime, I'm not seeing it for you. I'm sorry. You know, even things like you can become one of the best sports persons in the world, you know, LeBron James, or whoever is the best football player right now. You know, there's always, there's an aspiration of, you know, things that black men can do perceivably, or become like one of the best rappers ever and all that kind of stuff. Like, there's little niches, like where black men feel like they can really attain and rise to the occasion and grow and move forward in that way. But even then, that's managed, controlled, policed, all that stuff by white men. So they're always under the scrutiny of white men. I think what they may not see, because of what they always are going through in this capacity, is that they don't see how, and because they're not impacted by it, and I can speak from my own experience as a trans woman, at one point in time, I was not being impacted, as a trans woman before my transition, I was definitely doling out misogyny too. Like, I'm not even gonna sit here and cap for y'all, like, that's the tea. Like, until you start really looking and experiencing things as far as misogyny is concerned, you don't see it. And it's like, oh my God, work or other things, like, you know, various phobias, you know, minus, you know, trans and maybe even transphobia. I might have expounded some of that too in some previous rhetoric, but I've grown and I've changed, and we should allow people to grow and change. And that's what I really want for Black men, to be able to see and grow and change. Because I know that what you, as far as Black men are concerned, what you all experience is horrible. It's terrible. It's vile. It's disgusting. And we as Black women and Black LGBTQIA plus people, we also experience it. You know, white men's rhetoric is decapitate the Black community by taking off the Black men out of the way and always comparing us, making them compare themselves to us, and they'll never be satisfied. They'll never be there. They'll never catch us, type tease. And it's kind of like what we did as Black women is, well, if you're going to take the head away from us, if you're going to take our alleged leaders from us, we will step up. We take on that responsibility. If you're going to take our husbands and put them in jail, if you're going to take our boyfriends and do all this kind of stuff and you're going to murder them, if you're going to do those things, we're going to step up to the plate. And this is kind of like where the matriarchy really starts to solidify itself, I feel like. It's like, okay, if you're going to take them away, we're going to step up. We going to be the ones to raise the children, work two jobs. We going to go to school. We going to have these opportunities to step the fuck up. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't experience racism, because we definitely do. But in tandem with that, we also, as Black women, get to experience misogyny. And again, because Black men don't inherently receive misogyny, you know, and they don't know what that's like. So it's very much like men explaining things to you, and you just sit there and be like, yeah, I know. Or not wanting them to, or them not wanting you to leave because you're a woman, and inherently you don't have as much value as I have, you know, because you're a man. You know, those kind of things where we put women down in a place. It's like, I think that's the rhetoric. Because I've even been on Twitter spaces currently right now, or on Clubhouse, and Black men will say, you know, and they will ask a Black man, and they will say, if a Black man and a Black woman went to the same school, same credentials, same everything, and then they got up and they applied for a job, whether it be, you know, any kind of thing where they were like working at McDonald's, or you're a business owner, or you do this or you do that, same credentials, same everything, and they like, should women get paid equally? And he said, no, because men are built different. And I'm just like, that's the rhetoric, that's the misogyny right there. Men are built differently. Yes, we know that's because you're men and we're women, but that does, it's like, the difference is what is really the difference that makes you grander, that gives you the I'm bigger, I'm better, I have more value? Where does that come from? I think that's just been instilled in the world for literal centuries at this point, so we can't really go back and find that exact moment. But it's like, it's so ingrained, you know, in there, to where misogyny can definitely happen. Because you are inherently born with the penis and testes and shit like that, it's like, oh, girl, I'm better. And my thought process is like, well, why? Because I have this. Because I'm bigger and I'm stronger. Not every single man is bigger. Not every single man is stronger. Some women are bigger, some women are stronger. And in various different species of animals, because let's keep it a buck, we are animals, there are women that are bigger than men. Not women, there are animals that are a female that are bigger than men. Or bigger than male animals. Y'all know what I'm saying? You know, and it's kind of like, where did this rhetoric come from? You know, and so that's something I don't understand. But anyway, that's just kind of one of those things. And if you don't experience it, is my point, is you can't see it. So if Black women, we step up and we're like, okay, we're going to start doing, paying all the bills. We're going to start taking care of all the kids because they're taking our men away from us and blah, 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 blue, you know. And so we stepping up. And so because we're stepping up, and I think last year, I believe more Black women started businesses and more corporations were investing in Black women, and more Black women are now going to college and getting more degrees. And we are now passing the expectations of where we're supposed to be, so much to where we have superseded the men in our category. And to a woman to supersede the man in their demographic comes across as like, damn, like, I guess we don't really have shit to offer. You know what I mean? It could be damaging. And the way that masculinity works is that I have to be the one on the top. Like, I have to be the one in the lead. And that's because of how white men have operated. They have kept women out of their board meetings, out of all that kind of shit for literal years. They just now feeling like, ooh, girl, I might have to start adding, you know, different people. So it won't look like I have an issue with different people. Whole time I do, you know, very that. And so it's like, now Black men are comparing themselves to white men even more so. And they're just like, oh, wow. So the Black men, I'm sorry, but now it's just like, now the Black women are reaching those potentials and those spaces that I haven't been able to reach and get to those spaces like that. And so that comes as a shot to the ego, to the male ego, where they have this inherent, like, I'm supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be there. And now I'm not there. And now you make more money than me. And of course, because the lovely way capitalism works, the more money you have, the more superior you are and the greater you are. So now these Black men who have been put down and shut down and all that kind of stuff, rather than, and this is perception, of course, rather than stepping it up, like how Black women, we had to step it up, raising kids, doing all these things, getting degrees. It's all simultaneously. We stepping it up. I'm like, come on, y'all. Y'all can step it up too. And I think the way that we try to encourage Black men to step it up is to do all of these things. But because of how Blackness and masculinity works, and then the intersection of those two things is masculinity is already like a strength. I'm greater than, I'm better than, that kind of shit. And then Blackness is like also masculinity inherently personified. So now we have double masculinity for these two, for these men, and they still don't have the capacity to outdo the Black women in their demographic, in their area. So they feel like they're less than. So the best way, of course, when you feel challenged, if you don't feel like you in the right spot, if you're in the right place, is of course to lash out. And that goes in tandem with masculinity, toxic masculinity specifically, because we don't like to take the time to educate Black people, specifically Black men, on how to express and emote and connect the same way we inherently teach women to do. You know, when Black women, when we get together, we're usually talking, and even if we have disagreements or arguments and stuff like that, we're allowing the emotion to express it. We're letting those things out. You know, we may disagree, we may call each other bitches and all kind of stuff, but all that is coming out. All the emotion, all the feeling. We talk a lot, and we talk a lot because talking is imperative. It's important. It's the best way to communicate from one person to another directly. And the air quotes birthright of how men feel is like, I'm already in charge. I don't have to say much. I'm kind of just silent. All I need to do, like I always tell men, is like, you know, I show up with the dick and then I go out there and get the money. And now it's very like, oh, well, she got more money and I got a dick. And then if we're in present day, now she got the rose or she got a vibrator. So she can come on her own and she doesn't need me. So the feeling maybe of worthlessness or having less value is magnified even more. And we don't, and again, I think the idea is that we continually to tell Black men, oh, you got to be some kind of sports athlete. You got to be this, you got to be this. And then, getting an education and growing in knowledge and stepping outside of your comfort zone is inherently bad or feminine or less than, or, you know, they only see the ways that other air quote successful Black men have been successful is through their strength or through, you know, their notoriety or whatever the case may be. And that's the only way they can see themselves like breaking away from that. And so because they're trying to break into that, they're only focused on that. They don't have time to think about what it means to raise a family. Because they see white men running their family than their household, doing the bare minimum. And they want to be, in turn, do the bare minimum as well. But they haven't been afforded the ability to do the bare minimum to take care of our families as a Black community. They haven't been afforded that. They want to be able to just say, like, well, I'm just in charge by birthright. But you haven't been afforded the privilege to be able to do that. You get more privilege as a man. We will 100% say that. But that as Black women, we have worked hard to definitely get to where we need to be because the way the system is set up and designed. So now we're in this place where the dynamic is shifting from Black men being the focal point to Black women being the focal point. And as leaders of our community, that is scary. That is threatening to Black men. And they need to have conversations about it. And they need to grow and they need to develop and they need to also learn and gain the education and all that kind of stuff. They need all of those things. However, comma, when, you know, people are hurt, frustrated, confused, and scared, it's easier to lash out rather than be introspective and say, you know what, this is fucked up. How do we fix this? Start asking hows and whys and stuff like that. But discourse around it doesn't happen because Black men have grown very popular in the sphere of podcasting as of late, where, you know, the idea is that Black men are going on these podcasts on these various platforms and just saying, like, you're a high value man, very Kevin Samuels about it. You're a high value man. You have things to offer. And the things they have to offer is that, you know, I haven't been to jail. Fantastic. That's great. We're very proud of you for that. You know, I may not have a degree, but I have a job. And that job sustains him just on his own by himself. I haven't had time to work on any kind of emotional integrity because I'm so challenged by, you know, what it means to display and effectively express emotions. That's inherently a feminine trait, which makes me less than. So I don't have the capacity and energy to do that. And so they go on these on their platforms and they say these horrible things about us as Black women. And we're aggressive. Yes, we've had to be aggressive. Do you see why? I've kind of spelled it out for the last few minutes here. While we've had to be aggressive, we had to go out there and face not only racism, but only also misogyny. Hope that makes sense. We had to go out there and face those things. And so because we had to go out there and face those things, we may come across as more aggressive. You know, and if we're too aggressive, that means we've dealt with white men and white women and racism and all that bullshit and misogyny. So we don't have time for the bullshit. We're trying to get shit done because that's what our great, great grandmothers had to do. That's what our great grandmothers had to do. It's what my grandmother is still dealing with now to this day. It's what I'm fucking dealing with. So, yes, we have to be aggressive. And you want us to be submissive to you who haven't had the opportunities to genuinely lead someone. Maybe you haven't had the opportunity to literally sit down and understand what it means to take the reins of something because you haven't been afforded because of the area that you live in, the people that's been surrounded you your entire life, the opportunities afforded to you and all that kind of stuff. Maybe you haven't had all those things, but you want to lead folks who are more and who are better equipped to lead us. Black women, as I've said, we have been afforded, even despite all the things that we went through, we are more equipped currently to be at the helm, to be the center, to be the leads of our community. But that would take away from what it means for Black men. They would feel, air quotes, obsolete, you know, and to feel obsolete is horrible. If you feel horrible about, you know, not feeling like you're necessary or you're needed, that's damaging to the ego and the personality. And it's very like, well, who the fuck am I even? Who am I? Who am I doing this for? And that type of shit. And so when you're hurt, you're going to hurt people back. And guess who you're going to hurt? The people you're in community with. You're in community with Black women. You're in community with Black LGBTQIA plus people. And if you feel that you should be at the helm and at the lead all the fucking time, you're going to continue to put down the people that you know that you at least have, you feel as though you should have some jurisdiction over. You feel as though I should be in charge of Black women. I should be in charge of Black LGBTQ plus people. So I'm going to tell them how they need to get in line, how white men have been telling them they people how to get in line for years. But the dynamics are not one and the same. It can't be emulated. It can't be copied because of how racism and such has played out. But I feel like this requires so much introspection. It requires so much thought. It requires so much feelings and all that kind of stuff. There's so much thought. There's so many feelings connected and invested in all of that. So it's hard to break away from this is what it's supposed to be. I'm like, no, that's what you were told it's supposed to be. This is what's been illustrated to you. This is how it's been shown. And you know, it may be baffling and it may be hard, but there are cultures where women are leading. It may be baffling, but there are LGBTQIA plus people who are leading. Even before colonization took place, we know that trans people specifically, we were regarded as high priests and priestess and, you know, spiritual leaders and that kind of stuff. And then, of course, you know, there are probably tribes and all kinds of cultures where women, we were at the helm. And it may be baffling to see it any other kind of way, but it's very much the case. And so rather than trying to appeal to Black women and LGBTQIA plus people, it's very, I'm going to reinstate my dominance over this culture, over this community. I'm going to reinstate that. And so they reinstate it by calling Black women, calling us aggressive, or they'll mutually exclusify. Girl, I don't know if that's a word. They make LGBTQIA plus people inherently white, where you at least one Black man knows at least one gay person that's Black. They have to. I mean, at least one LGBTQ plus person. So it just goes to show that, you know, they don't inherently think that Black people can be subjected to being a queer person, which, trust me, not the case. So, you know, they hurt people. So they're going to reach back and they're not going to pull us up, but they're going to keep us down. By trying to push us down, it inherently pushes them higher. So rather than reaching back and trying to pull us forward, they reach back and push us down. And so the idea here is that when we call it into question, when we say, well, we would like for Black men to step it up, like we had to step it up. And they're kind of like, oh, no, like, I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna step it up. I'm just gonna make sure that you know that you are still beneath me. You are still not qualified to lead this community. You're not given the God-given birthright that I'm supposed to have. And this, of course, comes from the idea of religion and colonialism and all that kind of stuff, which, of course, is in tandem with inherently with colonialism. But that's just how those things go, and also white supremacy. All those things are intertwined. But but what we're trying to get Black men to do is be accountable. And it's one of my favorite tweets ever. It's accountability feels like an attack when you're not ready to receive it. And so rather than wanting to accept accountability for how they may backlash and say mean things to us, and rather than listen to us, say like, look, we understand. We're Black women. We understand racism. We're Black LGBTQIA plus people. We understand racism. We understand what happened to you. You know, but let's try to work together. But rather than working together with us, they want to be in charge of us, but they haven't been given the opportunity to lead or be in charge of anything the same way we have. Not at the same capacity, and they haven't been able to take advantage of it the way that we took advantage of it, just because of the circumstances that we were in. It's just kind of how the dice got rolled out. You know, and again, there have been astounding Black men who have been leaders. Obviously today, again, Martin Luther King Day, Brock, all that kind of stuff. And even people in the sports industry, Colin Kaepernick, and so on and so forth. You know, those Black men have really, you know, raised the bar on what it's supposed to be like and what it's supposed to be given. And Dwayne Wade with his beautiful baby, Kavya, and my baby Zaya Wade. Oh, if I could meet her. Anyway. But I think that's kind of where it is right now is we want you to take accountability for, you know what? White men got us all the way fucked up. White society got us all the way fucked up. How can we help each other? How can I be of service? It's not I'm taking what rightfully belongs to me. It should be, how can we help each other? What do you have, Black women, that we need in order to be successful? Okay, you have educations. How can we get more knowledge? How can we do these things? In what ways can we be supportive to the community? Support Black women. When we say these things that need to be better, support us. Listen to us. It's baffling to me that when Black men were taken away from the families and then they left Black women to raise children all by themselves, it's quite baffling to me that they would then turn around and be upset with the Black women that try to hold them accountable when we raised you. We created you and we raised you. And unfortunately, because of how racism works, the fathers are always pulled away from the family, or they may elect to leave, you know, and if they elect to leave because of all the things I just talked about, all that social pressure, all those expectations, all that pressure, they may decide they want to, like, let me get the fuck up out of here because it's easier. Obviously she can handle it without me, type tease. And so it's like you reach back and you're mad because we've stepped up and you couldn't seem to get yourself to step up. And I just think that's just so sad because it's like, yes, you can do it. We believe in you, but you have to let go. I feel like the notion that you're inherently supposed to be in charge of something, that Black women can't tell you anything. That, you know, we can't share this experience and grow forward together. You know, I think the idea of assuming a position that's less than leader for Black men doesn't compute in their minds. And they feel like they should just be in charge. I'm going to also say that there are probably a lot of Black men who don't feel this way at all. You know, there could very well be the case. And, you know, I'm not saying that I have all the answers. I'm just trying to draw conclusions that seem feasible and seem very logical to me. So I've been oftentimes told that I'm intimidating as a Black woman. It's kind of like, oh, I've got this kind of job. I do this kind of social media work. I do these kind of panels. I also have great friends who support me. I also have a pretty good family dynamic. And then I also go to therapy to make sure I manage myself well. And, you know, and all this kind of other stuff. And I take care of myself. I eat right. I do aerial silks to keep myself in shape. It's like, we as Black women are kind of like, we've practiced doing a bunch of shit all at the same time, handling thing after thing after thing after thing, and with very little to no complaints outside. But sometimes, you know, we let it slip, you know. But we do all of these things, and then when men approach me and they say, what do you bring to the table? It's like, I have my own table. I built it. I've created it. I've sustained it. I've held on to it. And without any help from a Black man, I've done it all by myself. And that's something that they wish they could say, they could confidently say. So when they step to you and they want to be involved in community with you and talk to you, they can't say anything, you know, because like, oh, well, shit, well, I just have like this job and I have my own place, but I got a car or some other combination of that. There's something that you have that they haven't been able to attain or secure for themselves. And that's intimidating because just like white men are supposed to have X amount of dollars and be able to take care of their women and show and lead and guide and all that kind of stuff, they can't even begin to do that. So again, intimidation. And I get called intimidating quite frequently. So it's, and you know, they, a lot of Black men often ask that, what do you bring to the table? I have everything. My table's set. So what do you have to bring to the table? And they haven't had to think about that because the things that we do as Black women may not be of value to them. They don't see taking care of a home and raising families as like a job or as work, so to speak. It's kind of like, no, all of that is work. All of that is work. Just because I'm not going in to punch somebody clock does not mean taking care of a child is not work. Not that I've had children. I would love to one day, but or cleaning up a house and doing all that stuff. That takes lots of work. And, you know, white men have been afforded and privileged to be able to go off to work. You know, we saw in the 50s, they can go off to work, come back and, you know, they could pay for a whole house mortgage and all that bullshit and take care of the whole family with just him working. The dynamics aren't like that in at all anymore, really, now. But then it's even magnified because of how Blackness is incorporated into that, how racism inherently affects that. So it's like that dream of you going to work and you coming back and your wife being there and you providing and facilitating. We haven't been afforded that dream. So we have to divert the dream to something else that may work for everyone. But it's kind of like it's like Black LGBTQIA plus people collectively and Black women. We have kind of like, oh, we kind of figured it out. We're like, oh, okay, well, maybe Black men aren't the helm of us. Maybe Black women, we are the helm of what's going on here. And we're going to continue to lead and do what we need to do. And maybe they just don't like that idea. And so they just swing back and hit back and say, y'all are too aggressive. What do y'all bring to the table? Y'all should just submit and let us lead. You know, that kind of stuff. And it's baffling how much backlash we kind of get from that. And of course, there are Black women who uphold these archaic terms and things I've established. There are Black LGBTQIA plus people who uphold that. It's not monolithic. It's a kind of a collective thing that's going on here. And so again, a lot of Black men feel like they're under attack or under scrutiny right now because of how everything is happening. And the two guests that the guests I'm going to have are also definitely going to be commenting on how this has impacted their lives. Like Damone, he definitely talked about that in his experience. And a couple other guests that are going to be men that are going to be coming up, we're going to be talking to them about their experience and how that all kind of plays out for them as well. It's just really important, I think, to kind of identify that. To me, I guess after all that talking, is the solution to me is trying to have genuine conversations about this. The only genuine problem with having conversations about this is because Black people, I think people in general are very sensitive. I think Black people are very sensitive. And you add even more to that by being a Black woman. We're very sensitive. And then Black LGBTQIA plus people. And then I'm also trans. And now there's lots of sensitivities to be very mindful of. And if you haven't had practice speaking to these kind of people, then it's going to be challenging. And seeing them as an equal. You know, I think that will also be very challenging as well. That means Black men will have to step back and say, all right, I'm going to talk to Black women as my equal. I'm going to talk to Black LGBTQIA plus people as my equal and hear what they have to say and hear how I can be better. And then I can tell them how they can better support me and they can do those. And they can do those things to better support me. And then we're all supporting each other. It sounds so feasible and so easily doable. At large, not so much, but maybe in small pockets. And so it's going to take accountability on everyone's end to be able to, you know, be like, oh yeah, we all kind of fucked up. We all thought this. We all do this. But let's try to figure out how we can make this shit better. How do we move collectively together? Because, you know, we collectively can, you know, vote people out of office. You know, we can do that all the time. Or when Black Lives Matter happened, you know, with George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, of course, we can all collectively be like, all right, let's get behind this. Let's do this. We have the power to do so. We have the power to do so. It's time that we use it and tap into it effectively. And I think that's one good way. I think that's one solution. I'm definitely open to hearing a variety of other solutions. I would love to hear how we can definitely rectify this. I think the idea of removing the idea of hierarchy would help immensely. Again, but these things are just so inherently ingrained that, you know, lighter skinned black men inherently have, you know, are at the helm and leading all of this because of how colorism works and racism works and proximity to whiteness. All that kind of bullshit. And then, of course, it kind of trickles down from there. And who's in charge? Who should be having these conversations and this? If we start making things so ridiculously exclusive to emulate how white people have done it, and if we can, as we can see, white people haven't done such a great job leading. So it's interesting to try to emulate or copy that. So it's like, let's try to make our own thing and how to figure out how to make that work. How do we see each other all on the same level? Because we're all just people. At the end of the day, we all just people who all want to make sure that we are happy, content, and safe in everything that we do. So that's kind of like my question, I suppose. What is the solution? And then I wanted to make this this episode kind of like this, only for the sheer fact, and I know it's a long one, I know I didn't put any breaks in, and I'm so sorry, y'all. I am so sorry. But I was just talking and, you know, trying to break this shit up. It would be hard. But I think it's literally by talking and seeing each other as equals. No one is inherently better because they have more money or this. That's just capitalism. And I know it's hard to break away from that. And everyone has to take their share of accountability and what they've, you know, perpetuated or what they've said or things like that. But I want black men to take away from this whole thing is that you have support from our community. You have to just make sure that you're listening and seeing us as valuable equals to yourself. I think if you start doing that, we can definitely start moving the needle forward as opposed to trying to, you know, make you the king of everything, but you haven't done the work to earn the title of being king, if that makes sense. So, you know, that's the kind of thought process that I have. And again, not that black LGBTQIA plus people are exempt from that because, you know, there is definitely more masculine presenting black gay men, and they think that they run in everything, trust me, and they will be in that kind of stuff. And they'll see as black gay feminine men as like less than, you know, there's still hierarchy within it. Misogyny is very there. And then transphobia of why black women perceivably are more masculine and things like that. Like we talked about Megan Thee Stallion and Ciara and Serena Williams and da 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 da. Like they're like Iggy Azalea and Taylor Swift are still the same height as all those girls, but they never got called a man. Or got called trans in a derogatory way as if being trans is a bad thing. Weird. Question mark. So, I've lost my train of thought. But all that to say, and again, I don't try to sound self-righteous. I really just want to find a solution. I genuinely do. I just want to find a solution. And, you know, if there's some things that I have said or I have done, please tell me, like, gather me together. Like a ponytail. You know, sometimes shit, you don't want to hear from people, like how you deliver stuff. I know I can come across very, very aggressive when I talk to, when I'm expressing my feelings, because I'm very passionate and I want black people, I want us to do so fucking well. I want us to stake our claim and really own this shit, because we started this shit, this planet life. We started this shit as people, black women, especially cis black women, started this shit. So it's like let's show these hoes like what the fuck we do. This is what black people do. We've been here. We started this shit. Let's end this shit. Let's get them together. I really want that. And I think I come across so aggressive in my messaging sometimes on social media because again, a lot of black men may not see me as their equal, particularly because I'm a black woman, and even more magnified because I'm a black trans woman. They don't see what I'm saying all the time, and they don't see me as a value to the community or that I'm equal or whatever the case may be. And so because of that, Sometimes I have to take a little bit more a little bit more aggressive approach as opposed to a tactful one, because if I'm more aggressive, they will respond to that. If you just say like, black man, can you please do better? And it will just, it's like they don't see it because that doesn't provide any context for them. It doesn't provoke any introspection because they haven't had time to rehearse or practice that. And not to say that, you know, poking at a bear or poking at anger or whatever is the best way to go, but it invokes conversation and makes them think. Because almost every single time I call out black men on something in an aggressive kind of way, I always get some messages, girl, on Insta. They be like, nah, 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 nah. But you following me, though. You follow me. I'm not following you, but you following me. But you liking all my pictures. Right. So for them, a lot of them probably just see me as like this pretty object who should just sit there. And that's just, of course, massage noir. The degradation and the dislike of black trans women, but I'm just supposed to sit there and just be pretty and not say nothing. Very that. And so it's always like, I don't have to explain nothing to you. You just know that this is just not right. And it's very like, oh, okay. Or if I just ask a simple question, why, or how are you able to explain this to me? We don't go anywhere because they haven't had time to practice this rhetoric. They just know for a fact that they have it the hardest. They just know for a fact that it's complicated, that and you should just listen to them because that's just what you're just supposed to do. It's very that. And I want to stray away from the idea that I'm always right, because God knows I am definitely not. So I'm okay with having conversation about it. The last thing I want to talk about right before it's time for me to go, before I get off this, because I've been talking for damn near fucking 50 minutes. This is crazy. This just goes to show how much I can talk. But the one thing I want to talk about is this article in Vanity Fair. I posted on my Facebook, my Insta story, Twitter, like this, bitch, this is it. Okay, so on Vanity Fair, the magazine, and I'm going to put the link in the description. Y'all have to read this, especially black people. But I would love if black men could, cishet black men particularly, can get into this article. It's an article on Vanity Fair by Jamila Lamol, I guess is how you pronounce it. It's Jamilah. And her last name, Lamol, it's some kind of French, I believe. Lemieux. She published this on January 13th of this year, so just a few days ago. It's going to come out in the February edition of Vanity Fair. So please look this up. So again, this article is called Dave Chappelle and the Black Ass Lie That Keeps Us Down. The Black Ass Lie is in air quotes, is in quotations, by the way. And the subtitle, of course, is called The Comedian Perpetuates the Idea That Straight Black Men Have It Worse Than Any Other Group of Black People, Including Black Women and LGBTQ plus Black People. So that's what the article is about. And immediately I know like black men are like, oh, we do have it the worst. Please give this a read. It's a little long, but she hits the nail. And when I mean the nail, I mean she hits the nail on the head. Everything that I've kind of said, she has said it. She's expanded upon it. She's cited different works, different books, different authors, different activists like Raquel Willis, it's exquisitely written. And I'll put the link in the description because it's beautiful. Again, in the Vanity Fair magazine for the February 2022 edition titled Dave Chappelle and the Black Ass Lie, quote, that keeps us down. The comedian perpetuates the idea that straight black men have it worse than any other group of black people, including black women and LGBTQ plus black people. Again, this came out a few days ago. The author's name who wrote the article is Jamila Lamol, Jamilah Lemieux. Again, so important, so beautiful. Let me look up real quick what she said about this article. She wrote this article. She says, I've never worked harder on a story. This one means a lot to me. Hoping you'll read it with an open mind. Live at Vanity Fair site right now. Yes, it's beautiful. It just has great stuff in there that really helps focus in on what I was talking about for the duration of this. And again, it's not an effort to tear down Black men. It's an effort to bring them to the table for the conversation, the table that they always asking about for Black women. It's calling them to the table to ask them, what do you need in order for us to help you? These are the things that we know, and these are the things that are impacting us, and these are the things that you are doing, the things that you are saying that have negative impacts on us. And we're trying to assist and help you. In what ways can we help you? How can we have this conversation? How can we grow? How can we move forward? We need you to stop doing these things because they're harmful to us. We need you to start to do these things because they would be helpful to us, you know. And it's a beautiful article, very well written. I encourage all of you to read. Again, that description will be in the bottom. And again, I really want particularly Black cishet men to listen to this conversation that I was having with myself because I'm an absolute crazy person. But these are how my thoughts work. But I really want y'all to start thinking about how we can find the solution, how we can find the balance in this whole dilemma, as it were. Black LGBTQIA plus people, remember, yes, you are impacted by racism. You're impacted by homophobia and transphobia, but that does not give you the right or the ability to put down other folks. You know, those girls who are early stages of transition, just because they may look a little brickish, just because they may not want to get any surgeries or maybe not be able to get surgeries, it does not mean she's less trans. If anything like that, that's stuff you have to think about. If she's dark, if there are people who are darker skinned, it does not mean they are less beautiful. Speaking of which, did y'all see that Vogue cover? Oh my God, baby, that Vogue cover with, I don't know who's on the cover, but it was like the most melanated, most beautiful thing I think I've ever seen in my life. That Vogue, just look up the Vogue cover, like the all Black Vogue cover. I don't know who the people are on the front of it. I don't know that information. Stunning, Stundralina. Bitch, they look sickening. But yes, it's like darker skinned people are beautiful and have value and, right. And so those are kind of things, the hair textures, people, Black people who have, you know, less, 4C hair or have, you know, thinner, straighter hair or more curlier hair or easier to air quotes manage hair and all that kind of shit. That doesn't make them superior. We have to remove these constructs and these ideas of people having a certain level of superiority. And the reason I really harp and talk about these things is because I sit at a good place of where I get enough of the negative critiques as a Black person and enough negative critiques as a woman and enough negative critiques as a trans person. But I also benefit from colorism. I'm a little bit more lighter skin, so I get a little bit more privilege there. I also have the ability to have gone to school and done all these kind of things. And people who are educated in the traditional sense are not superior. There are people who have never went to school and they are brilliant minds. It's just like removing all this bullshit, this unnecessary stuff. People who have more money, it doesn't make them better. You know, capitalism rewards people very, very interestingly sometimes, girl. So I think it's just really imperative and very important. And I want Black men to take accountability, Black women, Black LGBTQIA plus people, take accountability for the bullshit that you say. I done said some bullshit in the past and I apologize. I've grown and I'm moving forward and no more of that negative rhetoric is going forward with me. So I want that for my community as a whole. I genuinely do. And I want to encourage Black people to make mistakes. And when you make the mistake, you say, damn, I fucked up. That's accountability. And it's kind of like, how do I go from there? You apologize and you atone. Atone, of course, means to take the necessary steps and actions to make the community feel that you have done the necessary work and you understand and you're ready to move forward and you won't make those same steps again. You know. So anyway, I've been talking for a long motherfucking time. But please let me know what your thoughts and feelings are, particularly on how we can work together as a community for Black people to work better, how we can assist Black men in attaining accountability in their part and helping them understand why we as Black women, Black LGBTQI plus people feel the way that we feel. Okay? So please send us a message, write to us, DMs, tweet, all the things. Go on your page right now, the 5-star reviews. Yes, Miss Thing. Or Mr. Thing, or they thing, thing one, thing two, whatever. Please go on there, 5-star reviews, let us know how we're doing. Again, we have lovely guests coming up. Next month is Black History Month, so we're going to try to do something special for that, of course. And then, of course, we're going to keep going forward with more lovely guests. And I'm really excited about the guests that I'm working on booking right now, so woo! I love you all so very, very much. And Black Lives Matter, Black Trans Lives Matter. I love you. So long, goodbye, and farewell.
Thank you all so much for tuning in to Black to the Future.
Yes, thank you for joining us. And if you want to continue the conversation with us, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Black to the Future Podcast.
And don't forget to use the hashtag Black to the Future Podcast as well. Share the content and please leave positive reviews.
Yeah, hola. And we will see y'all in the future.
Don't you mean Black to the Future?
Oh, I guess you're right. We'll see y'all Black to the Future.